Mas, it'll be of particular interest. Let me ask you, why a book first, Mas?
I was forced into this over the last 15 years, and I eventually capitulated about 18 months ago.
Forced by whom?
There's a friend of mine in Dublin. He wouldn't be known too well down here, and he was the guy that organised the whole shebang, basically, and he whipped the two canes into order over the last 18 months, you know? That was it. Yeah. That was no easy job either.
No.
Because when you have two canes inside an 8 foot by 8 foot room for a weekend, it can get quite explosive, the atmosphere there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever have yourself and Billy Kane, of course, right? Did you ever have any falling out?
Not that lasted more than a week, maybe. You know, there was always apologies over and back and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But nothing serious, no.
Mas, reading the book, and I must say now, it's a fascinating read, and it's not just for rugby people. Running through the book, there are a few teams that I found myself as a Kerry man. First of all, Kerry runs through an awful lot. Corrigan runs through an awful lot. Your mother and father, Lartimer Sindham, you speak a lot about them. I thought that was a lovely touch. Also, your wife, and of course, and your daughters, you talk about them a lot. And you also talk a lot about, I noticed all around the world you went, you always made a point of going to mess.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, if you don't have something, you know, you have to do that. I'm not trying to be holier than thou or anything like that, but it kind of came second nature because we were reared in that team. I mean, back when we were teenagers even, we were going out for a dance on a Sunday night, the rosary was always said before we went out, and that was it. Yeah, that was the way it was.
Yeah. The reason why I raised the subject with you, Mas, because all the top sportsmen we hear about now, they're trying to shy away altogether from talking about religion. And also, before one particular game, you write about you lighting, going into church and lighting candles. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, sure, there's nothing more about than that. It was a kind of a tradition that was handed down as well. The mother used to always light a candle during the internationals, and she didn't give a fiddler's whether I played bad or good or indifferent, for as long as I wasn't hurt. That was her prayer.
Mas, your mother was very important, sure.
Oh, they were, yeah, but sure, all Irish mothers are important, you know, especially in the rural areas.
Yeah, and you speak a lot about your mother and father in the book, don't you?
I would. Like, hope I didn't go overboard with it.
No, I'm not saying you did.
It was a kind of...
But I mean, there's more to Mas Cain than just going out playing rugby, that's what I'm saying.
That's a little bit more. I'm sure you're probably the same yourself.
Yeah. Well, probably, Mas. Probably. If you want to say something. I don't know whether I am or not.
Well, I'm not so sure of myself either.
No, but seriously, your mother played a big part in your life.
Oh, she would have, yeah. She was the boss, really, I suppose.
You used to go home to her when you'd be in Dublin, and you'd make sure that you'd get a good feed and things like that.
Oh, Jesus, and you'd bring back a bit of stuff with you as well, eh?
Would you? You would have a very happy childhood growing up in Corrigan, Mas.
Yeah, we had lovely neighbours.
Yeah?
We had tremendous people around us. It was the old style stuff. There were no cars, of course, so kids could walk to school and without fear of being knocked down or anything like that, which is, of course, different now. They have to be brought by car. I suppose that stuck to us as well afterwards in sport as well, because you build up a certain amount of strength in your legs and things like that without having... I never went into a gym in my life, I don't think.
Yeah.
And especially, of course, when you're running around the farm all day and you're milk cows and all that type of stuff. Not that I did an awful lot of it, but when we were around, we had to, like...
And you could have got the farm, as they say.
Oh, I don't know. I think the right man got the farm now.
Yeah. But in the book, you told me, in the book you mentioned about
He offered it to me, but...
Your two brothers, Mas.
I had, yeah.
Tell us who they were.
Ryan is the second guy. He's in... He's an accountancy business in his own in Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And then Matt is at home. And Matt was the farmer, there's no doubt about it. Like, on high has different ways of sorting things out, you know. Yeah. And
you talk a lot about your boyhood friends around Corrigan, the Brastons and all those people.
That's right, yeah.
They're listening tonight, Mas?
Some of them. For all Johnny Senior, anyway, he was working with us at home today, actually. This is the anniversary of his death, would you believe it?
Is it? Lord of mercy. Isn't that a coincidence? Lord of mercy. Isn't that a fierce coincidence now?
That's right.
So, do you know, Mas, I always find myself that at times that people are dead, their names come up during the most unexpected times.
Honest to God.
I find that. Yeah. And that man now, that it is how we're remembering him tonight.
That's right. And... it was kind of a sad part of the book, really, when I was doing it, because I was thinking of all the people when I was growing up, and virtually all of them are dead now, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a sad part of the thing,
you know?
Once I got out of that, then it kind of flowed a bit better than...
You went to the same, of course, then. There's a great chapter in the book about St. Brendan's, a great chapter. And were they happy days, or...?
They were kind of...
Was that Gobbo? Was that Gobbo? Was the president... Minehan, was called him Gobbo?
Johnny Boss was called him. For old father Minehan.
Was it, yeah.
He was a fine man, actually.
Were you happy in the same mass?
Yeah, it was tough going, you know. I mean, it wasn't exactly a holiday camp.
Yeah.
And I did the bloody leaving at 16, and I was probably a year or so younger than most guys in my class as well. And at the start, I suppose, it was tough enough, but you either withstood it or capitulated, and that was the way it was, you know.
Yeah. But you point out, of course, you didn't get on any of the same teams.
No, rightly so as well.
Yeah.
That was it. And big gangling fellow who was awkward as big ankles. But I liked the same to us, especially towards the end, all right, that fabulous handball alleys and all that type of stuff as well, you know, which I was amazed. We had a 40th reunion there last two weeks ago.
That's right. Then the wire told me all about it.
Yes. And I was amazed. I went into one of the alleys and I saw him doing archery in there, would you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
big change.
That's right.
Of course, when you were there, there was the old square in the middle where the goalposts were. In the middle of, just outside, there's an old field there now. Does that field is all grown?
That's all over, that's right. Yeah, that's different now.
I got so many people ringing me about questions and stopped me when they heard you were coming in. I can't think of them all. But one particular man said to ask Bas about the time that the rugby ball was brought into the sim and the priest punctured it with a penknife. Ask him, can he remember that?
I remember a rugby ball being brought in. No, I can't accuse any priest of stabbing it with a penknife. But a guy, actually, he came from Abbeyfield.
Yeah.
Right, John Brown.
Yeah.
And he introduced the rugby ball.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think it was looked on with any sort of favour by the people.
No, it wouldn't be.
But it was done for development, I'd say, more than anything else. Mas,
talking about, while it comes to my mind now, about football in the sim and rugby, Croke Park opening up for rugby and soccer. What's your views on that? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I presume to make it an economic viability, I think they'll have to do it, possibly. But then again, it's in their own hands. They've agreed to open it up, apparently, as long as Lansdowne Road is out of commission.
That's right, yeah.
Not before or not after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the views, when that's over, then if Lansdowne Road ever gets developed, and there might be a strong possibility that it'll take a long, long time because of the probably planning problems and objections, etc., you know.
How's Croke Park perceived in the rugby fraternity, Mas?
That was just great. I mean, there's no problem whatsoever. I mean, I suppose Croke Park actually would probably be more challenged by soccer rather than rugby. Yeah. You know, there'd be kind of...
You'd feel it easy for the four home internationals, wouldn't you?
Oh, God, it's overflowing, is it?
It'd be great to give people an opportunity to see rugby, wouldn't it?
It would, of course, yeah. So, I mean, they'd be laughing at that in 30 years' time or 20 years' time. There was so much hubbub about it.
Actually, it was like the Ben, because in the book also, Mas, you cover so much in it, we'll only get through the tip of the iceberg. In the book, you talk about the Ben and how you were afraid of being seen cut out and things like that, don't you?
I did, and I'll tell you one thing. Tom Wolfe went down to Lansdowne last Thursday night for the launch, and Tom Wolfe was the prime mover.
He was.
For getting rid of the Ben.
A Kerry man?
Yeah. He was the same class as my uncle, Father Matt, in the same.
Mm-hmm. I see, yeah.
He was one of the few that got away. The rest of them went to the priesthood. Tom went to the Department of Justice or something.
Come here, after going to the sim, had we any hope of seeing Father Maskeen?
Well, I don't know.
Did that go through your mind at all? Even though in the book you said you preferred to be Mansignor.
There's a bit of poetic stuff there now that was put in by some other fella.
Who's the other fella? Your namesake?
Billy.
we're coming up along. You won a minor county championship medal.
We did.
Football.
We did.
Talk about that era in your life.
There was, we had three fullbacks that day and the smallest guy was 6'2". I think there were two O'Connors from Ballymacilligate, Foxy Tom's sons and myself. And actually, I was only cornerback.
Yeah.
And I was knocking a small little fella. He was only 14, I'd say, at the time, called Jor Power.
Oh, yeah. How was he then, even?
Nothing moved inside the 21 and except the ball. Yeah. But he was too young, you know what I mean? At the time. But he was as fast as lightning, of course. Yeah.
He won?
We won with a bit of spare, possibly. But there was gas, actually, about that, too. We played Mid Kerry in the quarter final, West Kerry in the semi final, and the Rock in the final, right? And they all objected. The three of us, we all thought we were overage.
You were so big.
Yeah. But the funny thing was, we might have had one fella that was overage. We can't say that for definite, no, in case they recalled the medals. But he was, he was the smallest fella in the field.
Boss, I must tell you, I was playing with the Leeds Room. I don't ever my club, but I was, was in the dressing room one time many, many years ago, and they picked a full forward line, and it was the opposite of your full back line, because there was a man, Lartimerson, he died since he was sitting down alongside me, and the team was announced. Yeah. And the three fellas that were picked now, they were only all 5 foot nothing, as the fella says. And your man turned around to me, he wasn't on at all. Jesus Christ, well, she said to me, you want to be a midget to get on this team, he says. It was the opposite.
That's right. Talking about the Legion now, I brought on a few guys from the Crocs, like Dennis Coffey and a few of the lads, and Tom Looney and all them.
Great men, great friends of mine, yeah.
And when they asked the referee, they were playing the Legion on a Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
When they asked the referee the bloody game, right?
Yeah.
It was the hardest game I ever, Jesus, really, Joseph. What you call the fullback, he had...
Louis Nolan.
Louis.
Oh, Louis, yeah.
And Colty got cranky. They all got feel cranky because he's going.
Who lost?
The Legion didn't win.
Come here, we're going for a short break now. 0667123666. Mass Frank O'Connor rang me before we came on tonight. Frank O'Connor from Corra, and he wants to wish you the best. And he's a writer himself, writes a number of books.
Well, this will be my first and last.
Will it? Will it, yeah. So, Frank, thank you for that. And he said he always had a great time for you, and you always had a great time for people when you came home. And he's delighted with the recognition that you're deservedly getting now. Just one little thing in the book that actually, we were talking about it. You said in the book, you always felt a connection with the people gone before me. You said it's a spiritual thing.
I don't know if that's
probably... One little piece in the book.
Well...
I thought it was nice. No, it is a nice...
Well, I would, yeah. I do a lot of reflecting when I walk around the farm and thinking, like I said, the folks are there for... The Canes are there for about 220 years, you know? I just imagine... There's an old fort up there as well, the whole shebang, and... Just imagine what way they were operating 200 years ago, you know, and who was there and that type of thing.
Nice.
Nothing overboard, just a phase, like, for a few minutes, maybe.
But what I want to get across to the listeners is this isn't all a rugby book. This is about Mas Keane and about his family and about a lot of little things. Listen, put on them winkers. There's someone on the phone there. Are you any relation to Billy Keane? You're not related at all?
That's me, all over the heart, I could say. Two Keanes, no relation.
Billy Keane, writer Billy, congratulations on a wonderful read.
Thanks, Rishi. I'm sorry I can't be there with you, but our publishers have me going to Dublin to do something tonight, Moss and Kerry. I often wonder why didn't they keep Moss in Dublin. He's only an hour from it. But
you're going to have him in the stall. You'll have him in the stall Friday night.
We have him in the stall Friday night, and we're after getting in a special king-size bed for himself and Anne, because there's a great story in the book when they were on their honeymoon in Cornwall.
That's right, yeah.
And the bed broke on the honeymoon. And Moss is a kind of a shy fella sometimes. And he tried to kind of hide to get them out the stairs. But Moss assures me that they weren't in, that he was on the bed on his own when it broke, that it just collapsed under the weight of a big second row, you know.
And he blamed the weather in Cornwall. He said they couldn't go out.
He blamed the storms in Cornwall. Ah, well, sure, look, that's Moss's story.
Come here. He'll be in Listowel next Friday night in the Shanachie Centre at that's 7 right, o'clock. Yeah. That's going to make some night, I can tell you.
Ah, it'll be some crack, yeah.
Yeah, and he's also on a Mahoney's bookshop on Saturday the 12th, and he's in Killarney on the 10th of December signing, and that's going to be great. Come here. You must have got a lot of enjoyment with Moss in this book.
Well, I think even though we had one or two rows, well, I had one or two rows with him.
Tell us one of the two rows.
We became great friends, and that's what I got out of the book more than anything else, was a friend for life. There was the Monday after the All-Ireland, and I was totally depressed. The wind was blowing in from Ballyburn, and a plastic bag was blowing around. There was a dog urinating against the lamppost, and not another sinner in the street. And I looked out, and I was absolutely depressed. And I got a phone call from this good friend of ours who helped us with the book, Mick Carney, and he says, Moss wants to change bits and pieces. No, it was only a small thing, but I thought we were finished and I cracked up completely. It was the depression over losing the match. And I laid into him. I called him all kinds of names. I told him my grandmother fought the Black and Tans. But the good thing about it was he couldn't hear me. With the wind and the rain and everything, he couldn't hear everything I said. But
lucky for you.
It was lucky for him because he's almost twice my size, I reckon. But as he says himself in the book, the Canes are a hardy breed.
Moss, when did yourself and Billy start in the book? How long
it was over a year ago now, Billy, I suppose, is it?
It was about a year ago. We had our first meeting, We had a meeting in Dublin, and we did a lot of kind of preparatory work before we started to write it. We got to know each other well. But you socialise quite a bit now. But we always knew each other. We were always very friendly, but we got inside each other's heads, and we got on great, to tell you the truth. We had a great laugh all the way through.
You were going to say something there, Mas?
I know he brought on a book himself as well.
Listen to me. The other book, somebody told me, the last book you brought out lately that has gone into second print. Tell us about it.
Thanks to the God, yeah. The Last of the Heroes, isn't about Mas, but it was the novel I brought out in June, and it's gone into the second print.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of pleased enough about, really, you know, because...
Billy, there was a lot
of people waiting for me to fall, not in Kerry, but in parts of Dublin.
Well, I can tell you, you didn't fall in this book, because Rucks, Malls and Gaelic football, I couldn't let it down, and I'm dead serious about it. And do you know what I said to Master earlier on? It's a book for everybody, not just for rugby people.
No, there's a lot of GA, but in fairness to the editors, they kind of said, look, this is all about football and rugby, and then we kind of branched it out, and there's an awful lot of funny stories.
There's one great story.
My favourite one in the book is when Moss was in university in Cork. You know, he used to get into all these bashes for free. He'd go in with a bucket and a white coat from his dairy science lab, and if anyone stopped him, he'd just say vomit.
Yeah.
And he'd get straight in as if he was cleaning the toilet. But he's the funniest man you ever met in your life, but he's also a very serious man.
Yeah.
In his own way, and very spiritual. You know, he's more religious than I am now, to tell you the truth. And he's a great family man, but he's overall a gas man. And the whole thing we had in the book, and it wasn't done deliberately, it just happened that way. Do you know the way you have these books, Weishi, and you have 9 children dead in the first chapter, and it's all misery and anguish, and everyone gets beat up, and by God. Well, actually, Mas said to me, he said, I had the exact opposite to the miserable Irish childhood. He said, I had a fantastic childhood. And he did, like. And so there's a lot of laughs in it. Like, there's serious bits. I mean, he was nearly killed in a mugging, and, you know, there's bits and pieces here and there. But overall, it's
Con Hoolan is a lovely forward to it.
Ah, the forward, oh, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Well, I mean, Con Hoolan, I suppose, I mean, on my way to the airport, there's a statue of Con Hoolan in Castle Island, and Moss was over at it, you know. And it's a fair tribute to him. I mean, you could build a statue 50 feet high to Con Hoolan, and he'd be deserving of it. He's the greatest sports writer of his generation, and the rest of us are only dwarfs compared to him. Con Hoolan, for me, he's my hero. And I said to Moss, if it was 10 or 15 years ago, Con would be writing the book. So I see myself as kind of a first sub for Con Hoolan.
What was your favourite part of the book, Billy?
Finishing it, because we were under awful pressure. We were under fierce pressure. No, my favourite part of the book is the story that happened when Moss was mugged. It wasn't a rugby story, you know, he got a belt across the back of the head.
We'll be coming to that, that's right.
But my favourite bit was, and it's the way I thought Moss would be kind of very reflective about it and very sad, and he was a bit upset, but not too much. But the doctor, anyway, who was doing a big eye surgery job, Moss was doing it under local anaesthetic, and he could hear your man rooting around, you know. I hope I'm not upsetting people now. Of a frail disposition. But the doctor said anyway, Moss said to the doctor, will there be much blood? And the doctor says, ah, don't worry, Moss, I'm wearing my Wellington. that's my favourite one.
Moss, getting back to your time in UCC, but just a minute, Bill, your time at UCC, and Billy was mentioned there, there was also an incident when you gate-crashed a wedding, and you talked about it in the book, and you were sitting down with the mother of the bride.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that.
I can only vaguely remember that now, to be honest.
Yeah, and that she wanted to know where you came from, and you said, would her daughter like a what? Crystal glass?
Would she like a crystal or something else? Right. He's a gas man, yeah.
And what about the time that your mother heard that you were nearly becoming an actor? You were seen above around some hospital in Cork. Tell us about that.
A few of us actually went up. I think Brendan Lynch and Dr. Con Murphy and those guys were doing their internship at the time, right?
You were in good company with the doctors, of course, later.
I think there was a couple of guys from Killarney with us as well. A
man by the name of Coffey.
That's right, yeah. He was major. He was like the master of the hospital that night.
James Coffey, go on.
Dennis
Coffey, tell us anyway, go on. What happened?
We were doing, I ran into this woman, she was over inside, and she was my mother, one of the good friends of my mother's, and she was in hospital for a small checkup or something like that. And we went around with the stethoscope or whatever else and white coats and all that. And she said to my mother the following Sunday, she said, I never knew your man was doing medicine in UCC.
Go on, and do you had a lovely bedside manner.
Oh, there's something like, I will.
Do you know what he did as well on that trip? So it was the night of a county championship win in Cork.
That's right.
And the two boys, Brendan Lynch and Con Murphy, you know, the great Brendan, were were walking. They couldn't get off, and Matt said he'd bring the party to them if they couldn't go to the party. But he went around with a bottle of whiskey, and he gave us a whole load of the...
He gave a drop of whiskey.
Yeah. But there was fellas that didn't want to leave the hospital at all. It was the best night they ever had.
There was some woman got out of bed and started dancing.
She started dancing. A woman from West Cork started dancing. She had a bit of a waltz around, but the thing about Moss was it was very hard to get some of the stories out of him, because Con Murphy told us that, when I chewed out with him, he accused me of being an MI5.
The book got a big write up in the Sunday Times yesterday, Billy.
I got a fair whack in the Sunday Times. I suppose it's a very prestigious paper, you know. I don't know whether your man was he drinking the same bottle of whiskey or not, but he compared the book to a mix of Brendan Kennelly and Patrick Kavanagh. Do Big Moss and Small Billy think they were anything to compare to them? But it was nice to hear it anyway.
Billy. Well done and congratulations. You're off to Dublin now.
Thanks a million. We'll look after Moss, because without Billy, me, he'd be afraid walking around Chile, you know.
Come here a second, Billy. They're trying to keep us as far away as possible, aren't they?
Friday night.
It's the safest place, yeah.
Friday night,
7 o'clock in the Shanachie, which is the Writers' Museum in Listowel next to the castle.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we'll adjourn to a fairly well-known hostelry for a couple of quiet gallons. So.
Lovely.
And they won't be able to separate us Friday night, Moss, anyway, that's for sure.
Lovely, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rhys.
And listen to me, I hope that plane keeps going up.
Oh, geez, it's fairly windy. Good luck.
Good luck, Bill. Bye. Good luck. It's Billy Kane there. Billy Kane did agree. Moss, just before we go for a break, when you landed in Cork, actually it was there. You played your first ever game of rugby, wasn't it?
What was it?
First ever game of rugby.
Well, it was when the ban was lifted, basically. I had one game of rugby before the ban was lifted.
The two pubs played a game, didn't they?
That was
your first game, you said, in the book.
What was, yeah. Yeah, but right, I mean, yeah. We classify that as
your first game of rugby, yeah,
oh, yeah,
at the moment.
That's fair enough.
Is that all right?
That's no problem. That was a kind of a friendly kind of a thing for two battles apart or whatever else it
but
was.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about your first international.
Fine.
Playing in Paris, because there was a small little bit of an incident, which we'll call him the Stamper.
That's right.
Didn't go down too well. I can still see the mark in your forehead after him. 0667123666. If you want to be in one of the Moss's books, signed and everything, autographed by Moss, get on the phone straight away. Jacinta's waiting for your call. 0667123666. We've lots to talk about. We'll be talking about the Lions. We'll be talking about the famous win by Munster against Limerick and Seamus Dinnison's tackle. I was talking to Seamus Dinnison only lately. I'd be talking about that when we come back. So stay with us on Tell Us Talk. Very welcome back to Tell Us Talk. I'm talking to Moss Keane, Rooks, Malls and Gaelic football. Moss Keane with Billy Keane. A superb read. I can tell you, you'll enjoy it, and it's going to be some Christmas present. Go out and buy it, because I guarantee you, if you don't like it, I'll bite off you. That fair enough? Then the Wire Kilcomin was on, wishing Moss the best from an old schoolmate, he says.
That's right.
That's Dan, yeah. That's Dan. Met him yesterday. Met Johnny Brassen and Cora. Best wishes to Moss on a wonderful book.
Johnny.
And Lawler Tralee, do you remember the time you had a feed car and you took the back seat out?
There's a bit of poetic license there. Right?
And Lawler, answer the lady. Answer her. Do you remember it?
I remember the Fiat 600, yeah.
Remember taking the back seat out?
I didn't take the back seat out.
Yeah?
Someone said the front seat out.
Was Anne Lawler in the car?
She could have been, I don't...
John Shukru, Cassavine, congrats on the book. As a matter of fact, talking about Cassavine, I was down there Saturday, Quirk's bookshop along Cassavine. I was inside talking to the owner. He's gone selling a CD for us over Christmas. More about that. And on, as the fella says, Quirk's bookshop in Main Street, Cassavine, just flowing out the door. The book was flying out the door. Thank you for that down there. They looked after me well in Cassavine. Maris O'Connor, Curra. Best wishes from Alice O'Connor. Jim and Kathleen Gleeson Killarney, best wishes to Moss. Jim, another old mate. Another old pal of yours, yeah. You had a great team in UCC, Moss.
Not too bad from time to time.
Won the Sigerson.
A few of them, I suppose.
County Championships.
Yeah.
Yeah. You captained them yourself?
Well, I was captain, I'd say. Probably I was a compromise captain, possibly, between Carford. There were two very more likely candidates. It was Ray Cummins and Brendan Lynch, and I think... There was great rivalry between Cork and Kerry, of course, as well, and I'd say maybe I was kind of a compromised job, if possible.
It was a good team, Damas. That was a good team. Great side. Yeah. Brendan Lynch was it in that? You mentioned in the book he got the goal after 14.
That's right.
He was 2 points down, were you?
That was against UCD in Belfield, in the semi-final of a Sigerson.
Dan Joe Quinlan, fan 4, enjoying the programme so much. From Causeway, Malachy Hartley, is it? Michael Hartley from Causeway. He was one of the best rugby players ever. Thank you for that, Michael. He played 51 times for his country. Anthony Breen from Anna, the best rugby player to come from Curragh. That's what I was actually giving you a chance to come in there. Great men came from Curragh, great rugby men.
Not them too bad, some of them. That's the only biggest kind of guys and rough enough, you know. But it was like, I suppose the feeding and a bit of breeding as well, was it?
Nick Galway actually launched your book last week.
He did a fabulous job on it. He was marvellous.
He did. And of course, you mentioned to talk about him too, the late Mick Doyle, a lovely man. Michael. I had him on my programme one time.
Yes, lovely man.
Michael
was the first, I suppose. Well, he'd be the first in the Curragh Brigade anyway,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
You were Tommy, his brother, then.
Yeah.
And then myself and then Mikey. And I don't know, I suppose kind of Dyler's farm, you see. His uncle's farm was bouncing my father's farm as well.
Yes.
And we got to know him fairly well, you know, and he gave me a lot of valuable information.
His death hit you hard, Mass.
Well, he does very hard, actually.
You said that in the book.
Yeah, I did.
Spoke very nicely of him, well done. Yeah. Anthony Breen from Manor, the best rugby player to come from Curragh. We're talking about Joe Griffin from Lisbowl. Mass, you were a mighty man. You were a great line out, enjoying the programme so much. They all do down on Lisbowl. And Noreen Cahill from Rathmore. Only the best come from Curragh. Best wishes to Mass. Noreen Cahill, Rathmore. Hello, Noreen. Martin Hayes Kilcumin. Martin read the book. A great book. It's a great book. It's a great read. Once you pick it up, you can let it down. Danny Heron from Cork and the Native of Curragh asked Mass about the Cork County Senior Club football semi final in 1973.
Yes.
Is that a pointed question, Mass?
It is.
Yeah, tell us about it. Why were you sent off, it says?
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
You were sent off in the wrong, you'll tell me.
Well, of course I was. I would never be sent. I had to be in the wrong, hadn't I?
Yeah, go on anyway. Why were you sent off?
Well, there was a funny twist on that one, really, you know, and the lads gave me a great shot. Well, I lost the final. I didn't make the final then because I was suspended, right? I missed the final by a day. I reckon that was the reason they won the final as well. But we were a pint down
when
I was sent off. And the lads won by a pint with 14 men. Okay.
Yeah.
So that doesn't look very well for me, does it?
Colin Bambury from Dingle, congrats and best wishes. He was on. Shane Murphy from Cork, best wishes and well done, Mass. Enjoying the programme so much, as always. Big listenership above in Cork, Mass, they're listening to you. Aidan O'Brien links now, best wishes and congratulations. And best wishes to Mass from the Catty family in Castle Island.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, Mass, before we better start talking about rugby. Your first international against New Zealand. Tell us about what happened in Paris, wasn't it? Against France in Paris, Mass.
Well, I think it was christened the rugby game of the long studs. Right?
Yeah.
Studs were barred after that, like that. There had to be a certain size. First of all, Ray McLaughlin got his ankle reefed, right? And he was actually carried off. And my old head then was out the wrong side, the wrong side of a rock on the French side.
Right.
Yeah. And my two arms were trapped.
Yeah.
And I spotted this big French guy coming at me, and he just deliberately put the boot in, basically, right? To be different if you didn't see it coming. But
You saw it coming.
I did, yeah. But I said, actually, the ironic thing was I stayed on. And I got a kick in the head, and McLaughlin had to go off, and he got in the ankle. I don't know.
That
says something over my head and his ankle.
And you how many stitches did you get? You got a rake stitch anyway.
I didn't count them, but there weren't that many.
You didn't count them at all, yeah?
Sure couldn't count. I couldn't see the damn things.
But McLaughlin made some remark to you then about, to look, you didn't get the kick somewhere else.
He probably did.
What did he say?
Could have done brain damage if he got a kick in the arse.
But anyway, and you couldn't get at the French fillet, is that right?
In traditional Kerry fashion, I got him back the following year.
The following year?
I did, yeah. It took a year.
Well, you got him.
I did. I said, in big law, I'll let you. I want to say what I said.
Yeah. Mass, that was your first international. You went down and you played 51. I want to turn to the Lions. I'm going to jump in around. The Lions tour wasn't a happy time. A lot of rain. You came home sick and everything seemed to go. You got concussed. Not a happy time. Tell us about the Lions. Great in honour, of course.
The thing was, actually, I enjoyed it an awful lot, considering for the first half of it, for the first 10 games.
It was a long tour.
It was too long a tour, of course. 3.5 months. Left Dublin on the 1st of May and got back on the 18th of August. But when you're single, I was able to get 2.5 months special leave without pay. That was it.
Yeah. Tell us where you're working, what your job is.
Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
The airing side.
Yeah.
So, but the first 10 matches were fine, actually. Except the ninth match, actually, I got concussed, right? And the mistake that was made was that 4 days later, they picked me in the test, right? And they picked me in the test the day after, and 4 days later, the first test took place. And that basically finished my tour for me, because I can't remember a thing about the test, to be quite honest.
Whilst reading the book, I was surprised when you got concussed that they came to you and put your training, insisted you got training and that you play. And you didn't remember, you didn't know what was happening. You were vomiting and everything.
Oh, well, the things weren't going too well. I was kind of fighting it a bit. We didn't train, no. I played on the Tuesday. And yeah. The training, like, up to Saturday was fairly... You know, we'd not had the training done at that stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I know,
was
yeah.
kind of only rolling around. Yeah. But Dublin came down off the stand. And he brought me and he said he did some awful ramishing in there. He said, but the paramedic or the doctor, I don't know who it was, told him to make sure that the manager don't pick me for two or three weeks, he said.
Yeah.
And Duggan came down, then, of course, he never trained very much on the trip, and he came down after physio the following day and saw that I was on old training again. He said, get up. I won't say what he said. He says, get back out of here on this pitch. He said, I didn't say it like that, no, because he had told the manager and all that, the guy said, no way, that guy should play for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it rained continuously, Moss.
What was raining away? I don't mind the rain too much.
Yeah, yeah. There's a great photograph in the book of you and you in
the one about the
muck from head to foot. You're like a black man.
That's right. That was in Wellington, I think, against the New Zealand Juniors.
Yeah.
But they've improved the surface of the pitches out there in the meantime, I think.
Yeah, and you were thinking, even you mentioned the book, you looked up at the mountains, you saw called Dark Mountains, you were thinking of Killarney.
I was, and I got hungry then. Because every time I look at the Killarney Mountains, I get a pang of hunger after spending 5 years in the same.
It was an association of ideas.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Hunger. So every time people talk about Killarney now, they'll think about hunger.
The funny thing about it is that I was asked to... they closed down as borders in 1999.
Right.
And they asked me in to close the situation, right?
Yeah.
And they held it in the refectory, right? Mm-hmm. And which was no longer obviously a refectory anymore. But anyway, I said to him, I'd say a few words, and I said to him, I said, it's 34 years, I said, since I was in here. And I said, the minute I walked in, I got the pangs of hunger.
Moss, the Munster and the All Blacks, whole chapter, fascinating chapter on that. That would that be one of your most memorable?
It was the most amazing one anyway, like, if you look at it, like, 72,
73? 72 was it?
That was 78. Well, that was 70, we drew.
Oh, 78. Sorry, in Munster and the All Blacks, 78. You beat them.
We drew with them in 73.
Yeah, that's right. But the beating, then the famous one, there was players and all.
That was 12-0. Yeah, that was the one in the back. It was more amazing than anything else, and it was great. Like, actually, the intrigue still lasts because they have no footage in it. They only one outside camera. They didn't give us a chance, like, so they went after some political rally with the other camera or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were kind of hoodwinked, the All Blacks, in one sense, because we went on a tour to London about 6 weeks before that. Kiernan reckoned to cut out all these training sessions in Fermoy and all that type of thing, and all they did was emphasise we needed much more training sessions because we were hockeyed by one of London counties, and then the All Blacks came on and they beat the five London counties amalgamated together by about 30 or 40 points. So I reckon they were aimed out for a training session.
Yeah. You salted dummy, Moss.
They were, I think Kieran probably salted dummy. Managed.
And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, Moss and myself. We're engrossed here. I could spend 10 hours with him. Rucks, Mauls and Gaelic Football, one of the best sporting books I ever read. Moss, by the way, I must say thank you for the little mention I got myself in the book.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. You deserve that at least, anyway.
At least.
The
All-Ireland Junior final against Wicklow.
It was only 36 years ago. You know?
And we're still talking about
that's right.
And in the book you said that you were speaking to me and I'm still talking about what happened. That's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing, yeah. But I think the monkey was taken off our back. I think the Kerry Juniors were beaten
by Wicklow
a couple of years ago in Fort Lee. So
you were asking me about Tighe Fleming there when we came on. Sir Kisran and Killarney. His son came on for the Crokes yesterday. County final, Lone Rangers and South Kerry's on Radio Kerry next Sunday. Tighe is right, yeah, that's right. Moss, of course, the highlight was, of course, I suppose, the Triple Crown. I'd imagine, yeah. The old mobile is gone there. So somebody want to come on to talk to you, is it?
No, they're all right, they're okay anyway.
There's somebody listening anyway, but they're out of range, you see. They don't know what's happening. Do you want to answer it?
I'll turn it off.
Yeah. You can answer if you like.
Silent.
Anyway, Moss, the Triple Crown, listen to me.
Yes.
That was something special.
It was, I suppose.
Covered great in the book.
It came out of the blue, I suppose, a bit in one sense. But we were kind of threatening. We'd a very successful tour of Australia in 79, winning the two tests and all that. And there were 8 matches. We won 7. But Murphy was the coach, and he said, he played me in all 8 games. And I said to him, I says, why did you play me in the 8 games? He says, it's the only way of keeping you quiet. He said, but anyway, it's kind of, what the fuck, that thing is going on again now.
Yeah. Who's ever ringing Mas Keane in the mobile? He can't answer it at the moment. He's busy. He's on Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry and the whole county and beyond and the internet. www.terracetalkireland.com. Yeah, you're all right now, Mas. Anyway.
Just kind of building up a team to nearly the same squad, like actually the one that we were calling a couple of years later, right?
Yeah.
And we had a fortunate, I suppose we got an extra week to get over the Christmas.
Yeah.
Because the match was postponed because of the snow, right?
Yeah.
And then we took Wales this Sunday, which is the first time, actually, I think I was in the team to beat Wales, in actual fact. I'm not sure now, but it was... Oh, no, it wasn't. We beat them in the 80s.
You had an ankle injury.
I had...
Tell us about the bucket and belly button.
That was in Banner.
Banner, tell us.
Right, yeah. Well, you see, I got... Sean, I got a bad ankle injury on Halloween, right? And I said, no, normal medication won't get rid of this, so I decided to go with my good friend Sean Boylan. The Mead manager.
Of course, we all know Sean down here.
He wasn't the manager at the time. He was just beginning to become manager at the time, I think. So he says, you'll have to walk in to see. He says, every day for half an hour or 20 minutes, whatever else it is. And then he gave me a poultice to put on at night time. And actually, it worked. Because for the first time ever, the final trial was on before Christmas. And I'd only about 5 weeks to get ready for the damn thing. And anyway, I was walking to see him. And the extra week, of course, gave me the benefit as well then. And it went from strength to strength after that then, you know.
Yeah.
And with the 3 matches, bang, bang, bang as well. Like, there was 2 weeks between each of the 3 of them, right? Yeah. And we had Wales first in England, the famous Jerry McLaughlin try, where he brought the whole lot of us over with him, he said.
Even though in the book that you say that there's doubts that he touched it down at all.
Well,
for the first time I've read about this. Is that right, Mas? You revealed something.
I don't know. I was too far behind. I was kind of... there probably was. It wasn't a clear cut.
It wasn't clear cut.
But it was. Well, I mean, like, you were rewarded tries that time when you carried the ball over the line because they deemed that you, unless it was obvious to someone else.
Mas, one more quick one. Fitzgerald, your captain, Kieran Fitzgerald, he had 2 words using them. You got the words mixed up.
He did, but he can't use that now here.
Concentration and focus.
And focus, yeah.
Only the focus got mixed up and you tackled something else.
Yes, that's right.
Come here. Right. You're married to Anne. Tell us who you're married to and tell us who you have at home.
My wife is Anne Dunn. She's an awfully woman. We got a baptism of fire when we came back. We were in Romania in 82 and they were all awfully people. And I've never let fucking forget.
2 daughters, what are their names?
Sarah and Emily.
Sarah. Tom Quilter Lestole, best wishes to Mas. Tom Dinahy, belly big, enjoying the programme at the Gentle Giant. Donny Sheehan Killarney, best wishes. The Moriarty's Farron 4, Mike was sitting up with Mas at the match and he says better than watching any match. Francis Tim McCarty from Corra Village, best wishes to Mas. Kearney O'Brien, Bricks. Oh, my old friend Tierney O'Brien Briggs, his daughter's married out in Dubai. Had a young son lately. So he's the grandfather now. Briggs is a grandfather. Welcome to Kerry Mas. We wish you'll never let us down with yet another great programme. The best of luck to Mas with his new book from the Maloneys in Killarney. Mas, our old flu, listen to me. It was great having you. You're an officer and a gentleman, a good judge of whiskey, and you're a credit to Corra, a credit to Kerry, and a credit to Ireland. Mas Keane, you have a wonderful book. Rooks, Malls and Gaelic football, I've no doubt, is going to be sold out.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. God bless.